We have four testimonies this morning, and pay attention, testimony people. First will be Christina McCarty, then Amy Seiler, Brenda Hilty, and then Ricky Evans. Don't wait until the other person has cleared the stage. When they're done, start coming up and keep things moving. And I think that's all I have to tell you. So we'll hear from Christina McCarty.
Hi. I don't love speaking in front of people, so you'll have to excuse me if I look a little nervous. I did write some things down. So first, I want to thank this church for being there for our family when we needed you the most through all of our trials, especially when I went through the health crisis early this year. I could truly feel the love and prayers of everybody. This year has been a very big roller coaster ride, and there has indeed been some pretty bad things. However, there have been just as many good things to counteract the bad. I am extremely thankful for answered prayers when I was at my lowest. I know the Lord works in mysterious ways, and we don't understand it, but my prayers were answered. Our family still has more to go through with trials, and I am thanking the Lord in advance for answering our prayers the way He wants to. I have to remind myself often that I cannot put God in a box. He knows what is best, and I am learning every day how to trust in Him more. I know for me, when I was at my lowest, I drew very close to the Lord. The trials my family and I have gone through have increased my faith, and I am learning more and more that God's got it, and He will always come through. So that's all the things I wanted everybody to hear. And now on a personal note, one of the things that I went through earlier this year was when I was told what was going on, fear came over me. I think that's probably natural human nature, but it was really getting to me. And it seemed to hit me right as I was waking up in the morning. So I might've been fine during the day, but then when I was at my weakest, just barely waking up in the morning, I'd have this like surge of like just fear pour over me. And I told Jeremy, I was like, I have got to do something about this. I'm not gonna live like this. So I had him get me one of those Google Nests. And I said, I have to start listening to worship all day long, worship music all day long. Because I was at home, I wasn't exactly doing anything other than being at home at that point. And because everything happened really, really quick. It happened basically within a 4-week period. I went in for the exam, and then a week later I found out the thing, and then 2 weeks later I had the surgery, and then bam. So all within a month period. I, for those that don't know, they had diagnosed me with colon cancer. So anyway, I don't like to talk about that or give that any glory, but just for the people who don't understand what I'm talking about, I'm going to let you know that. So anyway, this is a short period of time, but it was a whirlwind of events, whirlwind of emotions, and I wasn't going to let that fear take me captive. And so I started listening to worship music every single day, not just listening, singing. Oh, and one of the things I have to say is when I had gallbladder surgery 2 years before that, they messed up my vocal cords with the intubation tube, and I couldn't sing anymore. And that's one of the ways that I love to draw close to the Lord is through worship and singing. So I had to kind of figure out different ways, and that was a little challenging, but I figured it out. That part taught me that it's not just about our voices, but it's about our hearts. And so that was, especially when I would have to come to church, I was lip singing. I wasn't actually singing. Okay, so fast forward to when all that happened. My voice was still damaged, but I was still worshiping, just not singing very loud. And another thing I did was I was in the Word constantly, and I was believing what the Word said. Those words are alive and active, like a double-edged sword going into your bone marrow, which is where our life is. That's where our blood is, and life is in the blood. And that word is powerful, and it's supernatural. And so I made a decision. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. And so between my prayers for what I was asking for, which, by the way, were answered, between worshiping constantly, being in the Word constantly, believing in what the Word was saying constantly, I did find that peace. And so right after surgery, I was incredibly peaceful. I don't know how else to say it. I just knew everything was going to be okay. And then, of course, 2 weeks later, they let me know what was going on. And literally everything I had asked for came to pass. I couldn't have gotten a better report for what the situation was, for what stage it was at. The surgery went so amazingly well that the surgeon was amazed, actually, how well it went. I recovered very well, and I mean, it took time because that's a big surgery, but basically, in a nutshell, this has helped me to develop my faith. And so no matter what comes our way, which we still have a lot more to go through, there's still things in our family that still need to be taken care of, and we still have trials and tribulations, but I know through this whole experience that God's got it. He's going to be there for me. And that I can't neglect the Word of God. I cannot neglect worshiping with my whole heart. I cannot neglect just, you know, my prayers and all of that. That's first and foremost of the most importance in my life. And so to end this, I just hope everybody has a wonderful Christmas season. Jesus is definitely the reason for the season. And no matter what anyone goes through in life, God's got it. Thank you.
And if I was to say, God is good, you might say? That's right. And all the time, God is good. Amen. My testimony is one of strength, blessing, patience, and perseverance. Of course, none of these things are mine. And these things and more are what our great God has done for me. In a recent Bible study, I learned to recognize that the iconic stories we know of great men of the Bible are examples of their mature selves. If we look deeper, we can see the path of growth. The most obvious path is David. He's called man after God's own heart. And his learning curve is mapped out for all to see plainly. And Abraham didn't just wake up one morning willing to sacrifice his son. He grew into that faithful relationship. This reminds me that it's okay that I'm a work in progress. And it's okay to look over my story and be encouraged that even if I have not yet arrived, each circumstance was a step of growth for myself and an opportunity to see how God is working on me and for me. And my hope in telling of this journey is that each of you can apply the lessons that I've learned and recognize Him within. So being brought up in the Lutheran Church, I was taught all the stories of the Bible, but I was not being taught about the personal relationship of Christ. But God brought in a man called Robert into my life. When he arrived, he armed me with the knowledge of that missing element. And as we stepped into the Christian church together as a married couple, I was then baptized, accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior in my 20s. But still, I was tangled up with that following my husband's personal relationship, so that when a few years later he passed away, I was left with, who do I follow now? and I was easily led into legalism by those in the church and the worldly expectations of me. And I just crumbled. And I stopped going to church altogether because I was not able to meet those expectations. I set out on a path of taking care of my two little girls on my own. I was gaining strength in organizing, protecting, and providing for my little family. I still believed, but I could not make sense of the rules of mourning and the legalism that my elder women believers had counseled me in. Some years later, I came to recognize that I was missing having God in my life. My walk with God began again and in a different church. God took my hand with no hesitation and led me on. My personal relationship had been growing side by side with the worldly views, and I did not recognize how I was holding on to myself while seeking God. And when I returned to church attendance, God brought my girls to baptism in their belief of Jesus Christ. I prayed over my life and desired a ministry. God provided a ministry to the elderly. He provided a women's group that I built there in the church and a women's prayer group in my home. And within a few years after dedicated prayer, I met David. He and I married and built onto my house for a ministry of hospitality. And in its great success, we only needed God to stamp blessed on that tidy little package that we had built for him, but not with him. Daily I prayed with my husband in thanks for our marriage and prayed genuinely, "I give it all back to you, God, to use according to your will." 5 years later, when David passed away from his cancer treatments, I was faced with the fact that I had once again missed the target. My relationship was all about the service and the works. And I began again to build my personal relationship, starting from what felt like the all too familiar ground zero. God again received me with loving, open arms and patient as ever. And as I grew stronger, he called upon me again through another circumstance, this time a health trial. Excuse me. I began to see for the first time in a long time that I had developed a pattern of organizing, managing, and trying to control my circumstances to protect myself and my girls. I did all this instead of releasing and relying on God. He is able, and He is good all the time. And all the time, He is good. And that catchphrase actually means that He never changes and His love and mercy are steadfast. And though our circumstances change, He is constant. I have said many times in the past few months that I am deeply humbled that He has chosen to use my body as His vessel of works. The estimation is that in August of 2022, I had 20 full strokes. Excuse me, my voice is going. I had had 20 full strokes. Medical professionals repeatedly have told me that I should not be walking, talking, breathing. or blinking I should not be by the evidence of the scans. Now, I do have some minor deficits, but yes, I am standing here telling you of our great God and what he has done in my body as his vessel of works. Halfway through those treatments, they stopped to do testing to see if the major tumor in the abdomen had shrunk enough to be removed. It had. But they also discovered that there were three spots to the side of the tumor that they were going to have to clean out and remove during the surgery. When they went in, those spots were not to be found. Treatments had stopped. The spots showed up on the scans. And just days later, they simply weren't there at surgery. The doctors were astounded and elated. And that's miracle number two. At the very beginning, when all of this was discovered, the strokes and the cancer, the scans showed the evidence of the disease that had metastasized in my brain. The particular chemo treatments that I received cannot get beyond the protective barrier of the brain. So these latest scans showed zero disease in my brain. The only evidence that the doctors could find was healing in my brain. And that's miracle number three. A favorite author of mine, Robin Jones Gunn, said in a podcast, "We should be so fully surrendered to God that we are willing to take on all the painful, confusing, mysterious stuff that comes our way and say, 'You, Satan, meant it for evil. And I don't understand this, but God meant it for me for good.'" And when we are in that mindset, it is unstoppableness. And she says, "Is that even a word?" It is now. My name is Amy. I am not strong. I'm not good or organizing. I don't do things to protect myself anymore. And I'm certainly not special. The only reason I can think of for my blessings is that I am able to stand in front of my doctors and my fellow believers who are growing in their own relationships to speak of my healer and hope to fix more eyes upon him. So I am learning to fully surrender to God, who is good all the time, no matter my circumstances. And I am learning and growing in my personal relationships with God. So please know it's never too late in this life. God has a place that you belong. You do belong. God is your answer too. Keep searching and fully relying on him and grow and release your unstoppable self, because he is able and good all the time.
I used to think that I wouldn't be the type of person to give a testimony up here because I thought my testimony would be boring. But then I started thinking through my life and all the times that God had impacted my life and decided maybe it was okay to get up here. First, just some mundane things about me. My father was a Mennonite minister. I like large families, or I wouldn't be here. I was born in Bluffton, Ohio, and the family moved to Oregon 3 weeks later. I learned how to pick locks when I was in college. By nature, I am a peacemaker. I have a dry sense of humor. I had four older brothers when my twin Barb and I were born. My younger sister Janice was born in Omaha when I was 7. I used to be an optimist, but now I think I'm a realist. One of my spiritual gifts is discernment. I was very, very quiet and shy growing up. I love learning, and I almost drowned in the Pacific Ocean twice, once at 3 and then again at 4. I became a Christian at the age of 5 with the help of my mother. When I was 4, my father was called to be the business manager at Grace College in Omaha. There were 2 yearly events at Grace that I attended that made a huge difference in my life. First was Bible conference. It was a week of meetings in the evenings, and I was privileged to listen to Bible theologians, Bible expositors, ministers, and evangelists. I know I wouldn't have understood everything at 4, 5, and 6, but I was learning very basic truths at that time that stayed with me. The second event was a missionary conference, again, a week of meetings in the evenings, and there, missionaries that were home on furlough would be dressed in their native attire, and they would teach us lessons about building faith, praying for converts, and praying for miracles. So for 14 years before I attended Grace for college, I was acquiring this incredible biblical education, and it was free. When I was in high school, our youth group would go once a month to a place called the Open Door Mission. Us youth would sing, and our youth leader would give a talk. The Open Door Mission was a place where homeless men, many of whom were alcoholics and or also on drugs, had a place to go every evening to get a free meal after listening to a half-hour service. I'll be honest, I didn't like this place. The room stank, the men were incredibly dirty and smelled awful, and there was a blue haze in the room because back then, nobody was talking about the dangers of smoking. I was kind of going by my feelings at that time because I really didn't like going there. I wondered later if the men had been able to see into the future of what their lives were, would they have made different decisions when it came to alcohol and drugs? As my faith grew, I did learn and I did understand that God cares about everybody. We all need the Lord. In the summers, we would go to Minnesota to family reunions. I had lots of aunts and uncles and 40-plus cousins, and it was always fun, of course, to play with the cousins that were the same age as you. I had a cousin named Randy who was my age, and everybody, all the aunts and uncles were farmers, except our family, of course, and then my youngest uncle. We liked being around the kids, our cousins and the family, Randy's family, because they were so outgoing and friendly and fun. But one year, my uncle called my father and said Randy was in trouble. Randy had been arrested as a teenager with alcohol. Randy continued to be in trouble through the years. He entered treatment centers 3 different times, and every time he came out, he was better, but it didn't last. He had 3 failed marriages and children that he wasn't able to be a parent to in those good and bad years. The last reunion when I saw Randy, he was in his 50s, and it was a good reunion for him. He was clean and he was happy, but he looked like he'd been to hell and back. His body was so destroyed by the alcohol and drugs that he died less than a year later. When I was a freshman in college, I had a part-time job in the afternoons, and my boss and his family had recently returned from being missionaries in the Congo in Africa. I had been a freshman in college for a whole week when pure evil came to our neighborhood. My boss's two oldest boys were abducted. Alan was abused and murdered, and Leslie was found later with severe facial lacerations and missing teeth. I say this only because at that point when I was 18, two truths were seared into my life. The first one was bad things do happen to good people in a sinful world. But the more important thing was God never leaves his own. He always is there for his people. He wraps his arms around them to help them get through tragedies. And that's what I saw with my boss and his wife. They allowed God to wrap his arms around them as they struggled to get through this. Okay, we got to go to a happier topic. In the fall when I was a senior at Grace, this guy named Phil Hilty asked me out on a date. My roommate was Marilyn at the time, and she happens to be the sister of Phil Winger. Marilyn didn't believe me. She said there is no way Phil Hilty would have asked me out on a date. She said it has to be that other Phil, and I can't remember his last name, so it doesn't matter. But anyway, on our second date, Phil kind of became philosophical and was telling me about how he had straightened his life out the year before, and he had come to Grace at the second semester the previous year. Well, in his philosophical talk, he mentioned that he was ready to settle down and get married. I didn't know if he was talking in generalities or if he was referring to me. But I remember one thing for sure. I thought, there is no way ever that I will marry a farmer. We were engaged 4 months later, and next August will be our 50th anniversary. We had been told 4 years into our marriage that we couldn't have children. And I don't have time to go into that, except to say that I like to think of Allison, Travis, and Megan as our three miracles. We also have 5 wonderful grandchildren. In the 49 years that I've lived here and attended Bethel, I've had the privilege of teaching Sunday school, Bible school, Sunday night meetings, kids club, all kinds of things. And it was a blessing to do that. And I always loved to watch the light bulb go on in the kids' hearts and minds when teaching. Phil and I also had the privilege of being youth sponsors 3 different times during these years. And that also was a very rewarding, it was time consuming, but a very rewarding time. There was only one thing I didn't really like about being a sponsor, the float trips. The kids wouldn't have known that because of my near drowning experiences when I was very young, that it was very easy for me to push my panic button if I hit the water unexpectedly. Well, on one particular float trip, Phil and I had the food coolers and drink coolers in our canoe. And a couple of the guys came along and said, oh, by the way, we just want to let you know, somewhere along on this float, we're going to capsize your canoe. Well, I immediately let logic and reason kick in, and I said, well, guys, We've got the coolers, the food. If we capsize, are you willing to risk losing food when you might be hungry later? And then I also said, if I go in the water and survive, you'll be dead. We all survived. Okay, now just a thought for those of you youth and those younger coming on behind them. Feelings are really important in our lives. They can be really good, but they also change a lot, and they're not stable all the time. And so I would just encourage you to allow God to teach you how to use good critical thinking skills in your lives as you mature in your faith. I just want the very best that God has for you. Thank you.
Hello. I'm nervous, so gotta bear with me here. My name is Ricky Evans. A little background about myself. My dad abandoned my mom, my sister, and me when we were pretty young. So I ended up growing up in the inner city of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We were very poor, sometimes with no heat or hot water, hardly any food. Sometimes I would even steal food. People don't know that. But I would, you know, go down to the corner store and steal an apple. You know, watermelon, stuff like cantaloupe. I tell my kids today, that was like luxury for us, you know, if we would have that. So not having a father figure in my life, my guidance was the streets. Like, everything was the streets. I remember one time when I was in third grade, I was walking home, and I heard these two shots. They were shotgun shots. And I look over, and a guy comes barreling through the door of this corner bar that was by us. And he laid there dying on the ground. And when you're from, you know, from the city, you don't get involved in that, you know? So this guy basically laid there and just died right there. Nobody helped him. And that's how, you know, growing up, I always thought, like, you don't get involved in this, you know? If you want to die, you go down, and that's what they would tell you. You know, a guy would come with a stab wound, you'd be like, you need to go down the block and die. You're not dying, you know, on our step, because we just didn't want to get involved. So looking back on my life, I've seen three times that God has shown himself to me, but I wasn't paying attention to it. So when I was around 13, 14, a buddy and I worked after school, because we went to school, and that, well, when we did go to school, we skipped a lot. We would work. Everything was work. You know, you were trying whatever you could to make a dollar. You know, hustling, whatever you could do. So at that time, we were getting paid, you know, cash under the table. And one day we got our money and we counted it, and it was short. And me and my buddy were like, what's going on? Why are we, you know, why is it so short this time? So I asked the owner, and he said that it was less because he was taking taxes out of the money. And I was like, wait a minute, that's bull, because I know if you're paying under the table, you're not paying taxes for us. So we had a plan that we were going to kill this guy. And I remember we got all dressed up in black, like ninja costumes. And I remember going to the hardware store and getting these axe handles and black taping them up so you couldn't see them at night. And we're ready to get, you know, what we feel was ours. So what ended up happening was, about four or five blocks from this restaurant, we decided we were going to go to the ATM, you know, get some food, you know, get some money out to get some food while we waited for this guy, because we knew everywhere he walked. Well, we thought we did. So we're at this machine, and we hear from behind us this person say, hey, Ricky and Lee. And we turned around, and it was that guy right behind us. And he glanced down at the bag that we had, and he seen all this stuff in there like rope and axe handles and, you know, everything. And we grabbed our stuff and we just took off. We ran. And looking back now, I can't believe I was going to do, you know, this instances that we were, you know, having. And but I'm so glad that God intervened and spared me from this mistake by bringing him at that time behind us. The second time that I seen God step in was me and my best friend were walking home at night. I think we're around 13, 14. And it was around the time when kidnapping was really big in the 80s. You know, they didn't talk much about it, but I think there was a kid, Adam, if you guys remember, he, you know, got kidnapped. And so we're walking late at night. It's like at midnight. And we're coming from my cousin's, and we just came from Chuck E. Cheese, you know. And as we're walking, I noticed this car was behind us, and it was driving really slow, and every time we would stop, it would stop behind us. So my friend said to me, he's like, well, let's go to this house over here and act like we live at this house. And I'm like, all right, yeah, that's so as soon as we turn around, this lady in white appeared in front of us. And to this day, I still can't explain. It was definitely God doing it. She wore this white, it looked like a nurse's outfit, but it looked like an old nurse's outfit, nothing like today. And when we seen her, we almost walked into her. Like, it scared the crap out of us, you know. And she looked at us and said, do you know those people in that car? And we said, no. And she said, run. And we turned around to look at the car behind us, and when we looked back, she was completely gone. She disappeared. And of course, me, I was a fast runner. I was gone. And, you know, we made it to the house, and we were like, man, I can't believe, you know, what just, you know, happened to us. So that was another time God spared me from something that could have been really bad. So the third time he stepped in, I was around 15 to 16 years old. A buddy of a buddy had this job for us. So he asked us if we wanted to make $8,000. And in the 80s, $8,000, man, that's a lot of money. And we're like, yeah, what do we need to do? So he goes, it's really easy. You take this van to New York City, drop it off, and pick up another van. The keys would be inside of it. You pick up that van, you bring it home. Easy work. We were like, yeah, definitely. So that night, I had the weirdest dream telling me not to go. The next day, I wasn't feeling it and decided I'm not going to do it. Well, good thing, because weeks later, I found out that the guys that did the job got pulled over and arrested. There was so much cocaine hidden inside the van that they both got long prison sentences. I can see that God was stepping in and saving me. For most of my early life, I was an atheist, so it shows that he even helps those that don't believe in him, because he knew that one day I would believe and follow him. What did I get out of this? This tells me that God is always there showing us the right way, but we cloud it by listening to the other factors and not focusing on God's voice. As followers, we need to block out all those other factors and focus on the voice of God. When I was a teenager, my mom had married an alcoholic who was pretty abusive to me. I eventually got shuffled around to different family members' houses for safety. Eventually, my sister and I ended up living with our dad again for a little while. That all ended when he died of a massive heart attack at 37. I was 17. It devastated me. Through the encouragement of a teacher, I ended up finishing high school and then joined the Army for a couple of years. Eventually, I got married and had a son, little Ricky. In the 2000s, I went to a church service and believed and accepted Jesus as my Savior, but I was still on the fence and not going to church or reading the Bible. I dealt with serious depression and anxiety for most of my life and had attempted suicide several times. I was also going through the end of my first marriage. I need to thank God for introducing me to my wife, Shauna. He had us meet at just the right time. It's crazy to think how we met on Match.com. And a little joke I have is that I was still on the free trial, so I didn't even have to pay to meet her. The summer after we married, we lost our first baby in a miscarriage. Then 2 months later, my brother AJ was killed in an accident. Getting that call at night that AJ had been killed was a devastating moment. But now that I look back, the whole week before he was killed, he called me about every day to just talk. I thank God that he gave me that time with AJ, and I hope to see him again someday. When Shauna and I moved our family here in late 2019, I had a lot of difficulty adjusting to the slower pace of Missouri. But slowly, I've started to come to appreciate it, and it helps my mind to slow down. Soon after we moved to Missouri, my wife experienced a spiritual rebirth and became really serious about her relationship with God. I knew she wanted me to believe like she did, but I wasn't ready. I know now that she was praying for me a lot and asking some of you to pray too. And God did start to give me a hunger. I started listening to a lot more Christian podcasts. Then I started watching a lot of Christian movies and shows and listened to more Christian music than I ever did before. That led to reading my Bible some during the last winter Bible study and revival. I decided to actually do the devotions and to put into practice what it was saying. I started to notice a dramatic decrease in depression and anxiety. Then Shauna invited me to go to something called the Great Banquet. A couple of weeks before I went, I told Dean Loganbill that I was scared of what would happen there, but that I was ready for whatever God wanted to do in my life. The weekend I went to the Great Banquet, I had an experience I know to this day that it was the work of God. I was worried and had major anxiety, not knowing what to expect. I'd never been to a men's retreat before and had no idea the things I would be going through in the next couple days. Well, this was no ordinary retreat. Unless they are all like this, I have no idea. They encourage us to put away all cell phones and watches and to put away all our thoughts about work and family and just focus on God. We learned a lot, worshiped a lot, prayed a lot, and had great fellowship together. On one of the days, we were going through communion, but that day for me, something was different. I grabbed a piece of bread and went to dip it into the cup. Now, the thing that was different this time when we did communion was everybody would get up, come up, grab a piece of bread, put it on the plate, and then, you know, go back to the seat. And then once everybody put the bread on the plate, then we would go and we'd have communion. So, and what we would do is we'd pick a piece of bread, dip it in a cup. They'd held a cup, we'd dip it, and then we'd take, you know, the bread. And so as soon as I dipped the bread into the cup, my whole body started to have those goosebumps that you get. I thought, wow, this is different. Of course, at that moment, I had no idea what was occurring and felt somewhat strange, but we all had goosebumps before. But what occurred next was something I never really experienced. As soon as I took the bread and ate, I had a feeling like my blood was being lifted out of my body. Anxiety started hitting me, and I know it sounds crazy, but I know what I was feeling. At that time, my mind starts racing like it does when I have anxiety attacks. I had a lot of anxiety attacks. And I was thinking, man, what is going on? What is happening? Am I having another heart attack? You know, which I've already had two heart attacks. All these feelings started happening all at once. I couldn't comprehend what was happening to me. I was completely stunned to the point that one of the guys came up to help me back to my seat. We then prayed and headed back to the conference area. Once at the table, I sat down and was still in a stunned state. They announced that it was time to eat, but I was stuck to my chair, still wondering what had happened to me. One of the guys came up to me and asked if everything was okay, and at that point, I started just pouring out things from my past that had been holding me back for many, many years. Once I was finished, I looked at him, and the first thing out of his mouth were, "You know what you need to do? You need to write all that down and throw it in the dump truck." Now, the dump truck was, they had this dump truck sitting up front, and what they would want you to do is take your old baggage and write it on paper, put it in the back of the dump truck, and then at some time they would burn all those messages that were in all those people's baggage. And basically, I would write down, anything that I wanted God to work on and to help us through it. After I had the meeting with him, I felt less foggy and felt better. I went to get something to eat. On the way back from one of the guys I became friends with, came up to me to see if I was okay, and I told him what had happened and what was going on. And I am not kidding. He looked at me and said, "You know what you need to do? You need to write it down on paper and put it into the dump truck." So that was the second time somebody has told me that I need to write it down and put it in the dump truck. So I get back and I sit down thinking about all those things. And one thing about my anxiety is I would just get these flood of voices in my head, kind of like I was schizophrenic, you know? And you could never, like, if I would get into where it was a bad anxiety attack, my head would be so, I'd feel like I was going crazy. Like, there was just so many voices in my head telling me that you need to do this, or you can go kill yourself, you know, maybe you need to kill yourself. Maybe we need to do this, do that, you know. And that's how I've lived with this all my life. So then out of nowhere, out of all these voices that are always in my head, this one pure, clean voice came to me and it says, "You know what you need to do? You need to write it down on paper and put it in the dump truck." Now I'm thinking, I'm going crazy. Like, something's going on. So I listened, I wrote everything down, I told the guys earlier, and I threw it in the dump truck. I didn't feel any different and went back to listening to the talks. Sometime after, I started feeling this openness and started seeing things differently. Everything I was reading was different. Everything I was seeing was different. It was so weird. So it was all new to me. Then out of nowhere, a voice came back and flashes of thought started to enter my mind. I still can't explain what was happening other than God was doing his work. I'm thinking, man, people are going to think I'm crazy. But then reading Acts 12:7 popped into my mind there. And I started thinking about Peter getting nudged or slapped by an angel and being guided out of the prison cell. He wasn't sure if it was real or if it was his imagination. I started feeling all my worries, anxieties, and fears start to lift. All these things that were built up, God was taking them away. Then I heard the voice again telling me the things that I wasn't doing that I needed to start doing. One of the things is getting up here and sharing my story. I believe I started to feel free and my mind got cleaner when they burned the stuff inside the dump truck. I also believe that taking away the distraction of time and electronics gave me the ability to clear my mind and listen to what Jesus has to say and his instructions. I'm not going to go any deeper into the retreat because to me it's such a special time and will be different for others. There were so many people praying, and that support was just so amazing. But I do believe others need to experience this. Allow yourself to get closer to Jesus and be able to fully surrender to him. I have seen many things differently and more clearly since that weekend. Things I'm reading, like I said, seems different. Scriptures are clearer. Billboards that I'm seeing have been just like, I can't believe that we're putting this stuff on billboards. Like all the, like in Jeff City, and when we were going to the retreat, or coming back from the retreat, all these billboards about strip joints and, you know, all this other stuff on these billboards was just, and the consumerism was just all coming out. I was seeing everything. So, I'm a sci-fi guy, and this kind of reminds me of the Matrix movies. Do you take the red pill or do you take the blue pill? It doesn't matter which pill you take as long as you're following Jesus. He will show you the right way as long as you are listening to his instructions. So what do I think? I think we all need to slow down, forget about time and all our worries, and open ourselves up to Jesus. Because he will direct you and show himself to you. Just listen to what he is saying and give him all those worries, fears, anxieties. He's got you. Just listen and pray. Thanks for listening, and remember, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Follow God. Thank you.
Thank you, Ricky, and all the folks that gave testimony to God's goodness, God's strength. They were diverse, and actually, for me, there was portions of each one that spoke to me, and hopefully that was true for you as well. We have a lot to be thankful for as a church family, as individuals, as your individual families, and again, thanks to all that shared today. We're going to end today by standing and singing Praise God from Whom All Blessings Flow. And man, really think about that. It all comes from God, doesn't it? Let's be thankful.